Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.co.uk. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, some shameless self-promotion, because Site Visibility have just released their 2020 PPC automation guide. It's completely free to download, and it'll help you get started on each of the new automation settings within Google Ads. So this includes smart bidding, responsive ad testing, dynamic search ads, and more. The best way to accelerate your PPC growth in 2020 is to start planning today. So download your free guide at bit.ly, that's bit.ly/PPC-automation-guide. Now, today I'm joined by Toby Britton, co-founder and CMO at MyAppy. Toby, hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Now, you're based on the South Bank in London, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. Just behind the Ox Hotel. We've been there for about 6 or 7 years.
And I know that I don't have to ask you what the weather's doing, because we're pretty much in the same area. Well, I'm down in Kent, but it's pretty grey, isn't it, at the moment?
Dreich, I think, as they say in Scotland. Just kind of non-weather.
Dreich, that's a new word. I never heard of that one before.
Dreich, it's a thing.
Let's start off with less of the meteorology. Tell us about yourself and tell us about MyAppy.
Yeah, so we started, myself and two co-founders started MyAppy 6 or 7 years ago. And it was a slightly different proposition when we started. We wanted to help individuals collect together all of their social media feeds and put it in one place. But fairly quickly, we switched that model to become a B2B model. And yes, so we are a software as a service platform, and our main objective is to help brands find consumer-generated content, typically out on social media, although not exclusively. But once they found that, we help them bring that into our dashboard where they can curate it and then play it back at their convenience to different audiences who may not have heard that positive sentiment on social media in the first place.
Now, I want to talk about consumer-generated content. Let's start off with that term earned media, because I know some people get slightly confused about that. Can we have a good definition of earned media?
I'll do my best. I mean, we use consumer-generated content, user-generated content, UGC, and earned media fairly interchangeably. But I think the idea behind earned media really is you have done enough out there in social media, or just by making a great product or offering a great service, for people to be talking about it. You've earned that respect, effectively.
Yeah.
You've earned that positive sentiment. So if people are talking about you widely on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, wherever it may be, why not tune into that and harness that positive vibe?
We hear about first-party content and third-party content. What are the differences? How does that work? What's the sort of definition behind that?
Yeah, well, third-party content is what we've talked about briefly there. It's content that we are getting on behalf of the brands from third-party sites like Instagram, like Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. The brand doesn't have immediately a direct relationship with that individual, whereas first-party content, in our context at least, is being able to encourage the consumer to talk to you directly, perhaps create content specifically for your brand campaign, and then maybe upload that directly to a website. So at that point, you know, you have a direct relationship with a consumer. And not only have you got the piece of content and perhaps some information about that person, but perhaps you can go on to foster a better relationship with them and bring them into a brand community, which hopefully we can touch on.
Now, let's talk about a little bit about the benefits of consumer-generated content, and perhaps if you've got some examples of specifically who's using it.
The benefits are fairly obvious, we think. I mean, it's sort of the oldest story in the world, isn't it? It's a digital version of word of mouth,
and
it's not a new idea, really, but perhaps it's quite a recent invention to be able to capture that and play that back. It's not something that should be confused, we think, anyway, with influencer content. That is very specific in that it's paid for by the brands. The brands are paying individual influencers to say positive things about their brands or services. Whereas what we consider consumer-generated content is not that. It's organic. It's authentic. People are not saying it because they're being paid to say it. They're saying it because they like your brand, they like your service, and they like your product. And they want to tell their friends and peer group about it. So that's the benefit, really. It's authentic. And when you play that back to a different audience, people really tune into it. Other consumers generally believe that more than they might do a brand-owned message. And I think these days also, it's fair to say that I think there's a bit of a shine coming off the influencer community, both from a consumer perspective and a brand perspective. From a consumer perspective, they know now, if they didn't before, I think a lot of people realize that, yeah, these people are being paid to say these nice things. And there have been some notable recent examples. You know, there was some reality stars, I think, recently who were duped into saying positive things about a spoof brand that contains cyanide. And basically, you know, and it's that sort of thing. And that's not an isolated case. Brands, on the other hand, I think are becoming increasingly cynical about influencers because they know that the consumer perhaps doesn't have the trust that they once had. But also some of the influencers have been gaming the system a bit. They've been buying followers, buying comments, buying likes to inflate their apparent popularity.
Yeah.
And consumer generated content is the antidote to that, and brands tune into that. So we work with a variety of brands in lots of different sectors. I mean, it's actually, you know, user generated content is fairly sector agnostic. So we work with travel and tourism, we work with experiences, we worked with CPG, FMCG companies, and automotive, and everything in between, really. And they use it to great effect.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I was just wondering, because I know that your company, you help organizations sort of collate, I was going to say user-generated, actually. It's more, I think a better word is, I prefer your definition of consumer-generated content.
Yeah, it's more descriptive, isn't it?
It is, yeah. what's the best way of presenting this to your potential clients? What are some sort of do's and don'ts?
From our brand perspective, we have a platform that is very easy to demonstrate to clients, because actually when we have a prospect who comes to us and says, you know, we might be interested in using user-generated content, consumer-generated content, but we're not quite there yet. We can effectively build a profile for them, what we call a profile. It's any collection of social media feeds. Mm. So we will go and find the hashtags relevant to that brand. We will begin to populate our dashboard with pieces of content. Now, that might be tens, hundreds, or even thousands of pieces of content. If people are chatting about your brand online, you know, those conversations can be extensive, and you might have literally hundreds or thousands of pieces of comments in a day. So actually, from our point of view, it's quite an easy way for us to sell or to at least prove the value of the platform. Hmm. We add these hashtags, we start collecting that content immediately, and then the following day or the following week when we talk to that client, we say, well, listen, don't take our word for it. Here it is. Look at the content that is out there that you are missing. These are the conversations happening every day, and we can be capturing that for you. What you do with it is up to you. I mean, the brands can take it, they can collate it, curate it, and put it on the best bits on their website, for example. That's particularly relevant for brands that are e-commerce. So they can, and your listeners may have seen this on websites already, whether it's us or competitors of ours, putting bits of user-generated content, photography, on the purchase path at the on the product page, for example, where the customer is reviewing the product, and instead of just having pack shots on there, they've got pack shots, and beside that or below that, they might have pictures of people using that product in the real world. Mm. And we found with our clients that there's a big uptick in basket size, for example, when you demonstrate, hey, this is how your peer group are using it. It just makes it more relatable, humanizes it more. Mm. So that's a great example of how it could be used on a website. But beyond that, our clients do other stuff with it that we sometimes didn't even anticipate. They can put it on big screens at live events. They can put it on smaller screens in retail stores. But they can also actually take it off our platform and do other stuff with it. So we work with Cornetto, one of our Unilever brands.
Yeah.
And they seek consent from the person who's posted that. Let's say somebody posted it on Instagram. They reach out to that person on Instagram and say, hey, love that piece of content. Would you mind if we use it in our marketing activities? And if they get that consent, and most of the time they do, actually, they can then take it off our platform and use it as their own. And they can be as creative as they like with that. They can turn that into pieces of video. Typically, for Cornetto, they regram it. They push it back out on their Instagram channel, their global Instagram channel. And it's very highly engaged, actually. So yes, that is a key thing, is being creative. It's not just about sticking a little widget on a website. It's about seeing this content for what it is. The benefits, it's authentic and people like that. But actually beyond that, it's always on. So it's the sort of, an evergreen stream of content, if you like. And when you play that back to an audience, they love it. Further than that, it actually replaces some of your need to take stock photography or commission an agency to create the content for you. So it's economical as well.
Yeah. You mentioned something quite interesting there. You mentioned about one of the things that you do is you tag these various bits of content. Do you think that's something that's quite difficult to sort of convey to people that might be writing content on you? And what do you think companies should do to try and get people to tag their content correctly? Or is it not even possible, in your opinion?
You make a very good point there, because some companies have conversations going on, whether they like it or not, on social media. Mm. Not all of that is positive, as we know, but the vast majority of the time, people are given to saying positive things. If they like the brand, they like the service, they'll say nice stuff about it. But you're right, not everybody will automatically think of hashtagging that product or service or at mentioning you as a brand. Now, brands can obviously make life easier for them. They sort of get out what they put in. And if they run campaigns to drive consumers to use that hashtag, they have a call to action on their marketing materials. then it's much more likely that they're going to see an uptick in the volume of conversations that happen on social media. It's not just about social media, though. We've got to quote another Unilever case study that we're working on still. We've been working on it for a year. We're just starting year two. But it's working with Dove, and it's called Project Showers. And it's about empowering ordinary women and other individuals from around the world to upload their story and effectively shatter beauty stereotypes. And this is a campaign that they've put a lot of effort into. And as a result, they've won a Cannes Lions Award actually last year. So it's a great success already. But the objective there is not just to get them talking about it on social media. There is a hashtag show us. And there are many, many thousands of comments out there. But their marketing activity actually drives the consumer to regional campaign pages. 15 different countries have actually run it so far. And once they're on that page, they can upload their content to the brand via Miapi, via us, using a form, their name, the city they're in, but crucially, their story and an image to accompany that story. And that's another way of capturing the content. But to your original point, yeah, it's fair to say that they have put a bit of marketing spend behind that to drive the consumer to the campaign page in the first place. But I think the essence there is brands are going to get out what they put in. The more they publicize their campaign using a hashtag as a call to action, the more conversations they're going to have.
Now, you mentioned earlier about you were drawing the difference, or you just alluded to drawing the difference between community marketing for brands and versus sort of influencer marketing. Could you just expand on that just slightly for us?
Yeah, actually, that relates also to, for example, the Dove campaign. Mm. Their objective there was to find what they termed hand raisers. Now, that's another way of saying perhaps organic influencers. These are people saying the right thing about the brand, not because they're being paid to say it, but because they love the brand. They love what it stands for. So it's entirely natural to find these people, hand raisers. And once they've found them, the brand wants to communicate with them. Because if they've said the right thing once and they've taken a beautiful photograph or a lovely video, who's to say they're not going to do that again and again and again? Mm. So why not create a community? So whereas, you know, perhaps brands are traditionally, you know, in the last few years, they're used to paying influencers to say nice things about them. I think there's definitely a tendency to look actually more to the grassroots again, to the real consumers. And once they've found those people, we can capture great bits of content all day long, of course, but brands are now beginning to look beyond that. Once they've identified a good bit of content, they look behind it to see, okay, so this person is capable of writing beautiful things and taking beautiful photography about my brand. Mm. How can we harness that? And how the brand chooses to reward them, that's up to them. They could give them a financial incentive to do that. Or they could give them products to do that or experiences. Mm. But equally, some brands don't want to do that because it's not part of their DNA. They don't want to induce people to say nice things. That's almost getting back to an influencer again.
Yeah.
But sometimes they might want to give a charity donation on behalf of the consumer. So it doesn't always have to be a financial transaction. And certainly some brands want to keep it really pure. They want the consumer to come to them because they like to, but nevertheless, they want to reward them in certain ways.
I've heard people be quite scathing about influencer marketing. Do you feel, Toby, that it's influencer marketing is a little bit of sort of too much on the dark side these days?
I do. I think there have been a raft of quite high publicity, highly profiled cases of influencers promoting things that they wouldn't otherwise have used. So one of the examples I talked about earlier was when some influencers, reality TV stars, I believe, were duped into promoting a product that actually contained cyanide. Mm. And they published that to their followers, encouraged them to buy this spoof product. And that's just one of many examples. And so I think it has got somewhat out of control. I'm not saying that all influencers would do that, clearly not. No. But I think brands are looking at it again with slightly fresh eyes. And what I think is going to probably happen is that there'll be a place for these organic influencers. We are trying to encourage real people talking about real products and their authentic experiences, unpaid. But there will still be a world and a place for the influencers, but they probably are going to have to bear a little bit more scrutiny than they have done in the past. And I know there's definitely a tendency to go to the micro-influencer anyway, you know, more niche influencers who have smaller followings and a more intimate relationship with their followers. I think that's to be encouraged.
Well, Toby, thanks so much for talking to us today. So we've covered sort of digitizing word of mouth, consumer generated content. What one thing should our listeners go away with, do you think, from thinking about this as they go about their daily activities?
Can I have two?
Yes, you can.
One is to give user generated content a try. I mean, it's basically people saying good stuff about your brand. Why not use it? But when you use it, how you use it, I think the key point is, be creative with it. Yes, take it, put it on a website. That is brilliant. And for some brands, that is enough, like e-commerce brands. But for other brands, actually just treating user-generated content as a resource is the best idea. You can use it in print advertising, to make videos, to regram, to post out on your own social media channels, not to mention show it at events, show it in store, lots of places. So be creative is my top tip, I think.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. How can our listeners find out more about you and more about Miapi?
Listeners can go to miapi.com, of course, and plenty of blog articles there. If they want to know even more, request a demo from us. We'll build you a profile even. We'll show you what content is available for you and your brand. And that is probably the best starting point for us to be able to describe what UGC can do for you. Beyond that, of course, you know, follow us on LinkedIn, follow us on Twitter using at Miapi.
Toby Britton, thank you very much indeed. And thanks for listening, everybody. The show notes will be in the usual place. sitevisibility.co.uk/IM podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a fab review. That would be great. Questions and suggestions. The email is podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. You can tweet at sitevisibility. We have a site visibility group on LinkedIn. So that's all from me, Andy. And it's all from Toby.
Cheers, everyone.
Thanks, Toby. And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.